I just want to mention something real quickly before we get into NFL power rankings. We want to do Denton's college football preview for the weekend. Not a great college football weekend, by the way. Also, I've got a smell test pick coming up. But Bill Barnwell, some of you just sent me a link to this story. Bill Barnwell just put out a story, ESPN, titled "How Running Quarterbacks Have Changed the NFL, A Dual Threat History and the Value of It in the NFL." And we were talking earlier in the show about why passing yards, passing touchdowns are so down week one 2024 compared to 5 years ago. The numbers are incredible. There were 200 300-yard passers over the weekend. There were 17 that threw for under 200 yards. 5 years ago, there were 13 300-yard passers in week one. And 61 touchdown passes week one in 2019, just 34 this year. And Bill Barnwell talks about some of the things that we talked about, Denton, that it's, you know, this proliferation of running quarterbacks. And he writes, over the past 5 years, seven different quarterbacks have racked up 150 and 100 seasons. That means he defined that early on as, hold on for 1 second. I think it's 150 completions and 100 rushing attempts. No, it's 150 passing attempts and 100 rushing attempts. All right, so over the past 5 years, seven different quarterbacks have racked up 150 pass attempts and 100 rushing attempts. Now, they've been aided by the 17th game, but even upping the threshold to 150 and 125 rush attempts, five have reached that feat. And then he writes, and right now, as we begin the 2024 season, a full quarter of the league's starting quarterbacks are involved in their team's run game. In the AFC, there's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields in Pittsburgh, and Anthony Richardson. The NFC has Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Daniel Jones, and Kyler Murray. There are others, such as Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott, who have success as scramblers, but the eight just mentioned are involved in their team's designed run game. Now, I would actually take exception with Bill in describing it as a designed run game, because there are designed runs and then there are option runs. But part of the design of an option run is the option for the quarterback to run the football, and it's not a scramble. And we talk about this all the time, but there is the read option play style play, where it could be the running back, it could be the quarterback. And then there are the designed runs. You know, quarterback draw has been around forever. Spread the field, red zone, QB takes a step, you know, in shotgun, takes that one step back like he's going to throw, and then he goes right up the middle, or he finds the hole, you know, somewhere, you know, A gap, B gap, C gap, and he's off, right? That's a designed run. Another designed run, like we saw on Sunday with Jaden, is quarterback counter, where you're pulling guard center or you're pulling guard tackle, and he's essentially a running back. And he's following them counter Trey style, you know, or we've seen with Lamar Jackson. We saw many years with Cam Newton in particular, you know, true quarterback power, where you are, you know, you're blocking as if you're blocking for a running back. And quarterback sweep, saw that too. But this is definitely a massive impact on why passing yards are down. Passing touchdowns are down because the quarterbacks become so much more involved in the run game. And I haven't read through all of Bill's story because Bill's stories are long, but I think they're always so good and so well researched. But this really, and he writes here, the tide really shifted in 2011 when Tim Tebow and Cam Newton became 150 pass attempt, 100 rush attempt guys. Or you could argue the following year, and that's what we remember, RG3 Colin Kaepernick making playoff runs with offenses incorporating zone read concepts from the college level. Now, he writes, I'm not sure they stuck the landing because Tebow was out of the league. Griffin was, you know, got hurt. Kaepernick wasn't as effective when Harbaugh and Greg Roman left the picture, which is 100% true. Kaepernick had Harbaugh stuck around and Greg Roman stuck around as his offensive coordinator, probably would have continued his career and successfully in San Francisco. He had a build, by the way, as a quarterback that was not as much injury prone as, say, RG3's. But that's, you know, that along with the quarterbacks that are throwing a lot more than 150 times a year aren't as good as some of the all-time greats that have recently left the game. Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Rivers, etc. Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is, you know, had some outrageously productive passing seasons. Matt Ryan's a borderline Hall of Famer, don't you think, Denton? He was an MVP.
I would say he gets in.
I think Matt Ryan will eventually get into the into the Hall. I say that I feel like we've had this conversation about him before. So in 15 years, 5-time Pro Bowler, 4-time Pro Bowler, Rookie of the Year, and an MVP in 2016. 381 TDs to 183 interceptions. I'm just looking to see on the all-time. He's got to be way up there on the all-time yardage list, right? Has to be. Seventh. He's seventh behind Brady, Breeze, Manning, Favre, Roethlisberger, and Rivers on the all-time passing yardage list. Ahead of Marino, Rodgers. Rodgers certainly could catch him this year. Rodgers could pass him. Rodgers could pass Philip Rivers in the next 2 years as well. Actually, Rodgers, if he has two productive seasons, is going to probably move up to number five all time. He'll pass Roethlisberger, Rivers, and Ryan. But Ryan's seventh. I mean, Ryan's, you know, 5,000 plus yards ahead of Eli, who people think because of the two Super Bowls, obviously. But I think Matt Ryan, it's going to be a tough one when you get to Matt Ryan, right? He's got an MVP. He had a season in which he was in the Super Bowl and his 28-3 lead, but he also lost that Super Bowl. His record as a quarterback, for those that care about records for starting quarterbacks, 124, 109, and 1. In the postseason, Ryan was 4-6 as a starter overall, but with 20 touchdowns, 7 picks, and a 68% completion percentage. So not bad. Anyway, how'd we get sidetracked? Oh, the Barnwell story. I'm gonna read this one because I have certainly been a firm believer going back to 2012 in the ability of dual threat football from the quarterback position and what it can do for you offensively. And he does talk about, by the way, he comes to a conclusion here that the scramble is actually the single best play in football from an EPA and expected points added standpoint. We saw a lot of that in week one with Jaden. All right, what did Kayvon Thibodeau say about Washington?
So this was him, I believe this was yesterday during media availability. So take a listen. I have the question in there so you'll hear what's asked, but take a listen to what Kayvon Thibodeau said.
Tibbs, are you looking forward to Washington? I mean, you've had a lot of success against them in your first 2 years.
Yeah.
What makes this team, you see their colors, kind of elevate you?
I would say Washington in particular, you know, they're not really a rival, but they're what would you call it, in-conference? Yeah, in-conference, in our same division, there we go. They're in our division, so it's always a great game. You know, we see them twice a year, so I'm excited. Jaden Daniels is a great quarterback. He's from Cali, you know, grew up knowing him. Grew up with him, so I understand, you know, he's a great player, and I'm excited to go against him.
I mean, is it they're not a rival?
Not a rival.
Well, I mean, they're not for him. He's been in this league. They did have the 2022 games, the two games within 2 weeks or whatever it was, the tie, and then the Sunday night loss where basically, you know, that put the Giants in the postseason and kind of knocked Washington out. And if my memory serves me correctly, he had a great game, right? Didn't he force a fumble early in that game on Taylor Heinicke?
Yeah, he's
Heinicke
been
had like two fumbles and a pick in that game. Thibodeau had a big game in the second game, that Sunday night game at FedEx. 12 tackles, a sack, three TFLs, a quarterback hit, and a touchdown. He scored a touchdown. He sacked, fumbled, picked up the fumble, and scored early in the second quarter to give the Giants the lead. That was the game that ended with the missed interference call in the end zone on Curtis Samuel, I believe it was. Should have been called. Everybody says that cost him the game. Well, they still would have had to make, still would have had to score and then make a two-point conversion as well because they were down eight. Okay, whatever. I mean, look, this team's been in such a state for so long, they've lost their rivals. Dallas fans care much more about the Eagles, much more. They probably care more about the Giants. Eagles fans care much more about the Eagles and Cowboys than the Skins. And the Giants fans care about the Cowboys and Eagles more than the Skins. The Skins are the team in the division that is the least, you know, valued in terms of a rivalry by opponents' fans in the division. It's gotten that way. You can thank old Dan for that. 25 years of sucking. And by the way, being embarrassing while sucking. And that's just the truth. There's not one team in our division that looks at us as a chief rival or even the second pick. The Cowboys in order would probably... The Cowboys are the closest. The Cowboys would go the Eagles one, maybe Washington 2. The Giants would go Eagles 1, Cowboys 2. The Eagles would go Cowboys 1, Giants 2. If you talk to their fans. For us, I personally still think it's the Cowboys 1 by a long shot and probably the Eagles 2. Even though really history says the biggest games were, you had many, many, much more important games against the Giants when they were good than the Eagles. But I don't think that that's out of line at all. I don't think the Giants and Eagles would not have Washington in their top two as rivals. And the Cowboys, it's debatable. I think maybe Dallas fans would put Washington at number two behind Philadelphia. But Philadelphia is the number one Cowboy rival. I would bet you that 49ers are ahead of Washington in terms of the way they view their rivalries now. It's sad. I get it. But I think it's true. All right. When we come back, we'll do NFL power rankings. We'll see if we get to a dent in college football preview. We may have to save that for tomorrow. But I do want to tell you that Window Nation's got a great September savings opportunity. If you've been thinking about new windows, now is the perfect time. They lead the industry with an impressive 96% customer satisfaction rating. That means when you choose Window Nation, you're getting top-notch quality and outstanding service every step of the way. Replace your old drafty windows and enjoy up to 40% savings on your energy bills. Your home will look nicer and you'll save up to 40% on your heating and air conditioning bills. Gets even better. Window Nation offers an unbeatable lifetime warranty. That's their promise to you that your new windows are built to last for years to come. Right now, take advantage of an exclusive offer. You get two windows free for every two you purchase, no limit. If you need 10 windows, you're only paying for five of them. Right now, take advantage of this exclusive offer, which also includes no money down, no payments, and no interest for two full years. If you've been thinking about new windows, all I'm asking you is to give them a chance to come out and give you a free estimate. No risk, no cost. They're not going to pressure you. You're not obligated to anything. Don't wait. Call Window Nation today. Schedule your free estimate now. Go to windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION. And remember, to get this special offer, tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you.